the Record on KUOW with David Hyde. I'm Marcy Silman. James Walcott has spent the past 40 years watching the evolution of American culture and writing about it. He quit college and headed to New York in the 1970s, where he covered music and TV for the Village Voice. Since then, James Walcott has written about arts and culture for The New Yorker, Texas Monthly, and Vanity Fair, where he's a contributing cultural critic these days. James Walcott just published a collection of essays and reviews from his four-decade career. It's called Critical Mass. I asked him to explain the difference between a cultural critic and an arts reviewer.
A reviewer is often sort of a consumer reporter in a way, like this movie is worth your time, this book is worth buying, you know, this show is worth going to see. A cultural critic, you may be writing critically about the work, but you're also trying to put it into sort of like, well, what does it mean? What does it say about where we are now that certain things seem to cluster all at once?
The work that is included in Critical Mass begins with your tenure at the Village Voice. When you landed there, and I think that was after you left college and hit New York City, did you have the intention in your mind, I'm going to be a culture critic?
No, I just wanted to be any kind of writer to get in a paper. The great thing about The Voice then was that virtually anybody could write for it. I mean, people who just lived in Greenwich Village, people dropped off pieces. They had regular writers, and a lot of the regular writers, I mean, they wrote as if they were writing from their bar stool, you know. And what I was trying to do was simply get in into the paper. And at the time, the easiest ways to get in were either in the music section. And they had some television reviews. Well, television back then was so déclassé. There was nobody who was really that interested in doing it. And so, you know, I would just turn in, you know, little reviews of shows, 500 words, 400 words. And you never actually quite knew until the paper came out whether you were in or not. But the good thing was, even if the piece wasn't in, there was never this sense of rejection. Like no one said, I'm sorry, this just doesn't work for us. And, you know, you didn't have to go through that kind of thing. It was like, oh, because it was sort of like a lottery. For all you knew, somebody else may have turned in a piece on the same show like 2 hours before you did. So you never took it personally.
You have one essay that talks about how movies are dead and that our cultural definer as Americans, I guess, is television these days, which I found really interesting.
I know. I'm now wondering if maybe I should recant on that. Because the thing is, this has actually been – I wrote that before this year, and this has actually been a really interesting year for movies. I mean, it's been a real banner year. And I'm now feeling a certain loss of creative energy with TV. It may cycle back, but, you know, now that Breaking Bad is gone, Mad Men seems to have had its best days. I'm now thinking, oh, well, maybe. But I do think one thing that where it is true is that in terms of people talking about the television shows they like, there's a lot more vitality and it's a lot more democratic. Movie critics debate movies, but if you're on Twitter, it's the fans who are talking about Scandal, for example. There's much more talk in that format than there is even about movies that are considered the big hot film.
I'm talking with James Walcott here, and the essays that really intrigued me in the movie section were, I think, a trio about Woody Allen. The one that was just, you sort of talked about the end of his creative period, and I wonder if looking at that essay and thinking about Blue Jasmine or Midnight in Paris, which was commercially popular, if not critically acclaimed, whether you think he, like TV, has come around again?
Well, I think he mostly has. And, you know, there's a lesson in that, which I have to remember. I didn't remember when I was writing that piece, which is you can never really totally count an artist out. Mm-hmm. You know, even there are writers who look like they've – or, you know, filmmakers who look like they've really just spent it. You know, there's really nothing. And then they'll come back with something. Now, I'm not the big fan of say, Midnight in Paris that a lot of people were, you know, even his Barcelona movie. But there's no denying that the guy, you know, through sheer persistence, sheer productivity, you know, he finds a way to keep the juices going. And so in that sense, no, I think I was wrong. I mean, I think he was, you know, I hope we never have a moment where he pulls the Philip Roth and says, that's it. I'm done. It's finished. Now I just go around and collect my awards.
Reading a collection of cultural essays, I wonder about the role of criticism in particular, but I also wonder about the role that culture, what is culture in the United States anymore? And what role do you see yourself playing in your writing?
Well, I don't think I play any role, really. I mean, I think my role is to keep the readers of Vanity Fair entertained. I mean, I don't have a sense that I have any, you know, impact in any of the arts. I mean, one of the things that's happened is that so much of the culture of the arts in this country have been so professionalized and credentialized and turned into academic formats that, you know, people who are freelancers like myself, I mean, we can't really make a dent in that. I mean, there's a whole world of MFA programs for fiction writers when there are no markets for those novellas and short stories and novels. I think in films and TV, because it's a more democratic, it's going directly to the audience, you can at least sort of shape the debate, shape the sense of receptivity. You know, I think most people who think of themselves as cultural critics, I think they'd be very discouraged. I mean, theater critics who were theater critics for 50 years, I mean, they would acknowledge they had no impact. You know, if they champion Brecht and, you know, European playwrights and directors, you know, the fact is Broadway won.
Well, just a last question. I want to circle back to what you said about being a freelancer in this world of sort of professionalized entities and trying to find your way in. Are you not a staff writer for Vanity Fair? Is that not your job?
Well, I'm on contract, but I'm on a yearly contract. But, you know, technically I'm a freelancer in that I don't have an office. You know, I don't have, you know, a lot of the things that writers used to get. I mean, the New Yorker magazine, for example, used to have, in the old days, they had offices for writers who basically hadn't published in the magazine for 5 or 6 years, the old New Yorker. I mean, people, you know, there were people, you know, they were receiving stipends. But the way it works now, nearly all writers are freelancers. I am one of the very fortunate few who actually is still on contract. Most writers at most publications have been cut from contracts, you know, years before. You know, writers are, I don't think writers have ever felt more isolated than they do now.
Do you tweet?
I do tweet. You know, I'm one of those people. I really like it. I mean, I've actually made a lot of great connections on Twitter. I'm not on Facebook because I don't like the way that other people can take over your Facebook page. Everyone's told me horror stories about finding out that one of their best friends from high school is now listening to Glenn Beck 5 hours a day. You know, and Twitter is very good for, you know, recommending things, pointing attention to things, flagging things for people to look at. I mean, I use it mostly in a very positive way. I know people who have gone down in flames on Twitter. You know, they have one bad night where they're in a sullen mood and everyone turns against them. So I've avoided that.
Boy, it's really different from when you started out in this world, isn't it, 40 years ago?
It's very different. But the great thing is that toughened me up for it, because at the Village Voice, you know, your fellow writers and editors wouldn't hesitate to come up to your face and tell you that you had gotten it all wrong. That you were a fool. And sometimes they would do petitions in the office and publish a petition as a letter to the editor, you know, disassociating themselves from what you had written. I mean, it was very – by the time I got to the blog world and the Twitter world, I'm like, oh, I've already – you know, I've been through this.
That's cultural writer James Walcott. His new collection of essays and arts criticism is called Critical Mass, and you can read him in Vanity Fair. Interesting story. David Hyde, a half hour more to go here on The Record.
Yes, looking forward to it, Marcy.
We're going to be talking about Congress, perhaps the least accomplished body of politicos that have come around in the last couple of decades. So we're going to talk with James Matague, who covers Congress for Barron's, and he's going to tell us what we can expect. That and more coming up on The Record here on KUOW.